Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's lift our hands for a moment longer and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. What a beautiful presence of God that we're experiencing here. Hallelujah. Can you remember some of the things that He's done in your life? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Boy, I feel the presence of the Lord here in a great way. I am grateful for His presence. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be in the pulpit tonight in this great church. Of course, we miss our pastor and our bishop, but Jesus Christ is here, and we're going to honor Him in all that we do. I'd like to ask you to stand if you aren't already. I want to read from Psalm 31, verse 12. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. I am like a broken vessel. Praise God. You may be seated. I'm going to kind of mix two messages together here tonight. One kind of lays the groundwork for the other, and hopefully it won't take as long as two messages normally would. But I really do feel like I have a message that the Lord has put on my heart. And I want to say right at the outset that I believe that there are particular individuals. I have nobody in mind, but I really feel like the Lord gave this message for people who really need to hear it in this congregation tonight. So I just want you, wherever your situation is, whatever your background, if you feel like God is reaching for you, I want this to be a confirmation ahead of time that, yes, He had in you in mind before this night began. Praise God. Amen. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Before service, was trying to figure out ways to show the meaning of this verse, and I thought maybe I would take a glass and drop it on the floor and let it break, but I looked in the coffee cups in the cupboard in the hallway, and I thought of using some of those, but I didn't know which ones were precious to whom, so I decided not to do that. Who hasn't broken a glass or a cup or a bowl? In my family, there were 7 children. And I was the one who had the reputation for dropping and breaking things. If you were to go talk to any of my siblings and ask them who's the one that spilled the most milk and broke the most milk bottles, they would all agree that it was me. My wife has the talent of being able to piece together the tiniest little ceramic cups and make them whole again. And it drives me crazy because my first thought is, it's broken, throw it out. But she's good at it. And living with me, she's had the opportunity to practice that over the years. Praise God. I went on the Google, as we say, the older people. That's for those of you who think we're... Never mind. The Google, PotteryMagic.com, says, clean the piece thoroughly. Use a disposable brush to apply white glue or epoxy to the broken edges. Use only enough adhesive to cover the edge. Too little will leave gaps, resulting in a weak repair. Too much will make it difficult to get a tight joint. Quickly join the pieces together while applying light pressure. Avoid shifting the pieces because small chips may come loose, ruining the repair. Any glue that oozes from the joint can be removed later with a damp sponge or a razor blade. Make a positioning box by filling a shallow container 3/4 full of uncooked rice or beans. Come on now, you've all done this, right? Place the repaired item in the box so that the item stays balanced and let the glue dry. Gently scrape off the excess glue with a razor blade. Use cotton swabs dipped in hot water to remove remaining glue, and that's for the, when you use the white glue. Use lacquer thinner to remove epoxy. Return the item to the positioning box until glue is completely dry. To be on the safe side, leave at least 24 hours. It sounds like a pretty tedious process to me. Broken pottery, broken vessels. What are you going to do with it? We went to an antique store in Door County last weekend, and we used to have this cookie jar with a green lid, and it was had a strawberry embossed on the side, and it was kind of at three-quarters angle is where the opening was, and the lid went in there, and it was one of those cookie jars that you couldn't sneak cookies out of because the lid always made a noise when you opened it up. And somebody, I won't say who, broke that lid a long time ago, and my dear wife fixed it and glued it back together, and we had that cookie jar with the broken lid for a long time. It was a wedding gift from somebody, she said. And but then we had to, and I hope it wasn't from you, because I'm going to tell a story about it that you won't like. So eventually we got a different cookie jar. Actually, it was a cookie tin from my sister, and we let that one go. And so we're at the antique store, and I saw it, one just like it, and it was in perfect shape. And as it usually happens when we go to the antique store, I was on one complete end of this huge antique mall, and my wife was way on the other end, and I had to find her and go search for her, and there were a couple of things I wanted to show her, and I brought her back. I was going to show her this cookie jar. I thought she'd be all excited. Hey, look at what I found. And I did, you know, it was broken, but now I found out when it's complete. And so I got her about three-quarters of the way back, and I'm trying to describe it to her and explain it to her. And she said, oh, you mean that one with the strawberry on it? And I said, yeah, yeah, that one. She said, I don't want that cookie jar. So I guess there was a reason to get rid of it. We have one pink bowl in our cupboard. It has a big chip out of it, about an inch wide and a half an inch deep. But I'm hanging on to that because that's a big bowl, and I can eat my cereal out of it. You got to have a big bowl for cereal, right? Come on. Got to have a big cereal bowl. Kept that cookie jar so long, broken lid, just because it was the only cookie jar we had, and you have to have a cookie jar. But lately we've been buying pottery. I try to go down. There's a pottery class that the Madison Parks Department has several times a year, and at the end of the class they have this sale, and they sell just tons of pottery, probably literally tons of pottery, and it's a really good price, and I have a set of pottery that's glasses, tall glasses, handmade. That's what I drink out of all the time because it holds a lot, and I want to have a lot to drink. So, and we also collect coffee mugs. Now, don't give me a bunch of coffee mugs. When we travel, that's the souvenir that I usually bring home is a coffee mug. And now we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do with all those coffee mugs because the cupboard's getting overflowed. And my children, sometimes we have a coffee mug from Hawaii that my dear daughter-in-law, Laura, brought back for me that I treasure. And got a couple other, one from New York. And they all have meaning to me, but their value to me is because of the memories that they evoke. One of my favorites is from Mackinac Island that we spent a week up there, and it was just a precious time, and it's actually a really nice, they're valuable because they invoke certain memories, but they have a different, their value is because of their association, but the pottery that we have has value in and of itself. There's something about the fact that someone took time to make this thing by hand to put something of themselves into the creating of it, so that when I take this mug or this glass or this, and I did get a giant cereal bowl the last time I went up to Door County. That's now a piece of pottery, so I'm really set up for breakfast. And it means something to know that this is more than just a bowl or a cup. It's a work of art. Someone made it with their own hands. And if I were to break one of those souvenir mugs, I would feel bad, but it wouldn't break my heart so much as if I broke one of my favorite pieces of pottery. I'm forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. That phrase there is meant to give us the feeling, the attitude of something that is useless and thrown away. A broken vessel was not something that could be reused. If you look into it, you'll find out that most of the time, if you want to repair a piece of pottery, you can repair it, but it's very, very hard to hide the fact that it was broken at some time. There are ways to try and do it. But the problem I have is that whenever I use that piece of broken glassware or pottery or whatever, I think of the flaws in it. I can't help it. I look at this glued together thing that once was whole, but now it is broken. And even though it's been glued back together, it's still not complete. It seems like it's not whole. Now the psalmist here uses an image. He says, "I'm forgotten as a dead man out of mind." Now he's not really dead, but that's how he feels in his relationship with God. He feels like he has been cast aside. I am like a broken vessel. I'm useless to anyone. That's his expression. The best way he can think of to express his feeling, his attitude of lostness, of brokenness. He's using a piece of pottery as an example, but he's talking about a human life. We're talking about a broken man in this verse. And tonight I'm talking about lives that feel broken. See, sometimes we do the same thing with people. Even though they've been glued back together, even though they've done their best to fix their lives, all we see is the flaws and the broken part. And unfortunately, we do that with ourselves. Our lives are broken. We think of the dreams and the hopes and the desires that we had, and all we can see is the failure and the shortcomings. We see the problems that we failed to overcome. We think about the things we're not and the things we want to be. We focus on the flaws and the brokenness in ourselves and in others. And which of us hasn't had some things in our lives broken? Which of us doesn't have flaws? Some not so apparent. Some very apparent. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6 says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. He made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." This is the prophet speaking to the nation of Israel, but the principle is the same. You see, God's talking to this nation, his people, his children. And he's saying, I've been trying to do a work with you. I've been trying to do something wonderful, but you're not You're not submitting to the work of my hands. And now you would think that a skilled potter would be able to change it, but I'm told that sometimes it's just the nature of the clay that you have on the wheel. There are flaws in it. There's things that aren't totally softened. There's certain imperfections that you don't know about until you put it on the wheel, and you can't take out that imperfection without leaving a mark. So you have to start all over again. And that's what the potter did. That's what Jeremiah saw. He didn't fix the piece on the wheel. He started all over again. He made a new vessel. Whoever you are here today, God has a plan for you. Now, you know, there was a time when if someone had said that to me, I would have laughed out loud. Because I was pretty far from where God wanted me to be. And you may feel that way today. But I am standing here in front of God and everybody, and I'm saying, God has a plan for you. He had a plan for you the day you were born. Before that, the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, God knew who you were. And he had a plan for you and for me. You may think, when you look at yourself in the mirror or you look at the life you lived, you may think that there is no way that this life can be fixed. I am what I am, and it's going to be this way. But I can tell you that the potter, our God, he can start over again and give you a new life. Maybe you have tried to repair your broken vessel. Maybe you have pieced it together and used the best glue you could find. And maybe the flaws are still apparent to you and those around you, but you've done the best you can. But I'm here to tell you that God isn't just going to piece it back together for you. He's going to start all over again and give you a new life. You see, what we need to realize is that when we're broken beyond our ability to repair. And that any kind of repairing that we do is going to be full of flaws. Maybe that's the thing you need to realize today, is that your repair isn't going to get it done. You need to let God make you a new vessel. See, that's the effect that sin has on our lives. It shatters things. It breaks things off. It makes things hard to repair. Every life. I'm not just talking about the down and outers, if you want to use that phrase. I can go down to the state capitol and walk through those halls, and if the Lord was willing, he could show me the brokenness in life after life after life after life. Big sins and little sins. They break us. There's a thing called the sin nature. Our human nature is prone to brokenness. And sometimes all we can see are the flaws, the nicks and the cracks in our own lives. And as many times as we repair it, the scars remain. Sin has disfigured us. It cracks our dreams and tears up our relationships. It destroys our health and destroys our marriages. And we end up feeling broken and cracked and disfigured. We're not the person we thought we were going to be. And we patch ourselves up the best that we can, but the wounds and the cracks are still there. Jesus Christ is the creator. He didn't just create the world around us. He didn't just create the animals in this world. He created you and me. He made us. He's the potter. And this life we're living, it's the wheel. The difference is that we have a choice. That clay that the potter had on his wheel, it had no choice. But we choose whether or not we want our maker to start over again. You can stay on the wheel and go round and round in your cracked and broken lifestyle. Or you can submit to the potter and let him start over again. Oh, praise God. He doesn't just want to fix your life. He just doesn't want to correct a few things here and there. He wants to give you a new life. He wants to give you an eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A new creation, that's what that word means. A new species is another way to say it. Something happens when God makes you over. Not only is your life different, but you are a different person because the Holy Spirit is involved. Not just a new piece of pottery, but a different kind of clay. Let me explain it this way. See, when we're born again, according to the Bible, we're filled with God's Holy Spirit. That's part of the new birth process. God's Spirit comes and lives right inside of us, but he doesn't just fill up a hole in our tummy like, you know, like that lunch you had today and go away. No, when God fills us with his Spirit, he fills every nook and cranny of our being. He ties himself to our very existence. There's not a part of us that is not touched by his Spirit. That's what it means to be filled to overflowing. God doesn't want just a little part of your life. He just doesn't want the part that you think you messed up on. He wants all of you. When we're born again, God's Spirit fills us up. We become a different creature. A new creation. We become a child of God. Not just another human being, but a child of the Almighty God. Our spiritual DNA changes. That's the best way I can think of to describe it. Our very nature is changed. The day we're baptized in Jesus' name and filled with this Holy Spirit. Praise God. Listen, we have the spiritually genetic capability to live for God that we didn't have before. Before God's Holy Spirit was living in me, I could not do what I can do now because his Spirit has empowered me beyond my natural ability. That's what you want today. If you want a new life, if you believe it, if you want to be changed, not just for a day, not just for a week, but for eternity, God himself will pour his Spirit upon you, and you will be speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you utterance. You can have your sins washed away. See, sometimes we forget what a supernatural event it is when someone is born again. Sin is a real thing. And it has a real effect on human nature. And it has a spiritual effect. It affects your eternity. It separates you from God. And it pushes you closer to the destroyer of your soul, the devil. That's what sin does. But when you are baptized in Jesus' name, your sins are washed away. And that weight and that burden and that magnetism toward the things of sin go with it. And then God fills us with His Spirit, and we become able to live a life we never thought we could. Praise God! A new vessel! We're going to give everyone an opportunity to come and receive that experience in just a few minutes. But what about me, Brother Seidel? I've already been born again. And I still feel pretty cracked up. I've already had a run at this new birth experience, and I'm still failing. This new life that God gave me, I'm broken. All I see is the cracks and the chips. I've tried the epoxy, I've tried the razor blade, I've tried every kind of glue I can imagine, and I still can't. I'm still not a proper vessel. By now I'm used to the missing spiritual pieces in my life. Just like that cracked pink cereal bowl I have. I'm getting by, but there's pieces missing. See that verse above that we just talked about? That applies to you too. If any man be in Christ, if any woman be in Christ, if any child be in Christ, they are a new creature. Now, you're not just a new creature the day you're born again. You're not just a new creature for the first month that you live for God. You're not just a new creature if you're a successful Christian. You are a new creature from now on. Till you leave this planet, you are a new creature. You have been changed by the blood of the Lamb. Your spiritual existence, your very being, has been transformed by the power of God. You can never be the same person you were. Think about that. Praise God. You are a new creature. Old things are, you can go back to the old things, but they won't be the same for you that they ever were, because all things are become new. It stays the same. It's not just a one-day thing. You are a new creature, and you will be a new creature all the rest of your life. Hallelujah. John 7:37-39 says, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Praise God. You're a new creature. How do you become a new creature? God fills you with His Holy Spirit, and from your innermost being, your very soul of existence begins to flow God's Holy Spirit bubbling up outside of you. Praise God. You know what's happened when you hear yourself speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. But here's the point I want to make about that passage. He said it happens in the innermost being. We had we talked about holiness today in 301. I taught the 301 class, and we were talking about outward appearance and how it relates to true holiness. True holiness is not how I look. True holiness is something that's happening in my heart. It's something that's happening inside of me. And when you're born again, you may not look like the Christian that everyone around you looks like the day you're born again. The chances are real good you won't. There's probably a couple of things you don't quite understand yet, and you may be doing, we won't get into that, but let's just say that some of the greatest Christians you could know, it took them a little while to catch on. Your nature changes, but you know, we're still human, and it takes a while for the Holy Ghost to get a hold of all of us. It happens from the inside out, or it doesn't happen at all. It doesn't pay to just try and fix the outside, glue some pieces on that make you look better, wear a suit more often. There's got to be something happening on the outside. The Holy Spirit has to be springing up out of you like living water, flowing through you, changing you from the inside out. See, God wants to make you whole. He wants your life to be whole. Does your life feel broken? He wants to make you whole from the inside out. Praise God. See, we're new creatures. If you've been born again, you've already got the DNA. He's already inside of you. Every fiber of your being, every piece of your broken life has already been touched by God's Holy Spirit. So He doesn't have to remake you. He has the ability to supernaturally put you back together better than ever. Praise God. He doesn't need epoxy. He doesn't need Elmer's glue. You will never even know the difference. Jesus said that out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. He didn't mean the first time we speak in tongues was the only time. He meant that that river should be flowing continually over and over and over again. And that's what renews us day by day and makes us different. As God's Spirit flows through us, it changes us on the inside till it gets all of us on the outside, and we're full of God's Spirit, and it shows. Praise God, He took the pieces of our broken life and held them together and poured His Spirit out upon us and flowed through us from the inside out. And when the Holy Spirit came out, we began to speak with other tongues. Listen. The broken pieces of my life were just that, broken pieces. But when God filled me with the Holy Ghost and washed my sins away, they began to have a purpose in my life. God will take the broken pieces of your life and give them meaning. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Because I had a different identity. Be somebody else, not some fantastical character in a reality game or on a program or anything else, but a real child of God. We become new creatures. The Bible says that all things work together for good for them that love God, those that are called according to His purpose. And that says all things. That means all things past, all things present, and all things future. They all have a purpose when you're walking with God. We can't fix ourselves. That's why we need the blood of Jesus Christ to wash our sins away. That's why we need the Holy Spirit flowing through us. The healer, for those of you who've been filled with the Holy Ghost, the healer lives inside of you. He's part of your very spiritual nature. He can heal your home. He can heal your body. He can heal your mind. He can heal your relationship. He can heal every area of your life because He's a part of you. We don't have to paint over the cracks. We don't have to piece our lives together because we have the healer. When the prodigal son left his father's household, he left his father's lifestyle behind. Our musicians could come. He walked away from his father's household. He said, I don't want that life. Give me what's mine. Maybe you thought of this before. I never thought of this. But he never stopped being his father's son. Maybe he thought so, but he never stopped being his father's son. When he was in the pigsty, he was still his father's son. Wasn't living like it, wasn't acting like it, but he still had his father's DNA. It never changed. If you're here tonight and you have been born again, but you feel like your life is broken, listen, you may feel 1,000 miles away from your Heavenly Father, but you have never stopped being His son. You have never stopped being His daughter. You are a child of God. Let's stand. When he came to himself, the Bible says, he said, I'm going to go back to my father's house and be a servant. But he wasn't a servant. You may have gone out and lived in the world, but you're still a child of God. You're not a child of this world any longer. You're not a servant. You're a child of the King. And when he came home, he said, I'll be a servant. His father said, no, you won't be a servant. You're my son. When you come to this altar and pray, he's not going to treat you like a servant. He's going to treat you like his child. Because you've got his spiritual DNA. You're a new creature. That's never going to leave you. He's just waiting for you to come home. Whatever brokenness, whatever failure, whatever weakness you have in your life, our God, he's a healer. He's a fixer. Praise God. And it's not just a patch job. He'll make you brand new. If you want to have that experience tonight, if you've never been filled with God's Holy Spirit, if you've never had your sins washed away, God will give you a brand new start. You can come down on the front here on this side. Someone will come and pray with you. You can leave here with a new life tonight. You can leave the old world behind. God is waiting. Praise God. If you need healing, our God, he's here. He lives in you. You're a child of the King. You can be healed. If you're not born again, you can be healed and receive the Holy Ghost. Because God wants to do that for you. And if there's something broken in your life that you can't seem to fix, I'm telling you, your Heavenly Father, he knows your need before you pray. And if you're willing to surrender to him, he will touch you. He will change you. He will renew in you that anointing and that blessing that you felt the day when you first came to his altar. Praise God. Hallelujah. If we repent, if we surrender, if we give up the thing that's destroying our life, if we give up the thing that's destroying our relationships, if we give up the thing that's holding us back from doing God's will, he will bless you. He will bless your ministry, your job. He will bless your walk with him. He's waiting to restore everything that you've ever had and more. Because you are still his child. You're still his child. Hallelujah. Let's pray.
I see you shattered. You see whole. I see broken, but you see beautiful. And you're helping. Worthy. You wash me in mercy.
you're still thinking about it, there's still time to come and pray. There's still time to surrender to God. He will be here. If you will come and seek His face. Praise God. Praise God. You don't know how many times or how many chances you're going to have, but tonight He's here waiting for you. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. The promises of God in Him are yea and amen. He is able.
There's nothing too dirty.
He is able.
That you can make worthy.
He knows your need before you pray.
You wash me in mercy.
Praise God. Hallelujah. There's some gentlemen up here praying who need someone to pray with them.
That you can make worthy. You wash me in mercy.